The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lee.
Nellie Akalp is joining me on the podcast today. Nellie is a commercial investor from Westlake Village, California. And she's also an expert on LLCs. So I want to pick her brain today, see what we can find out about LLCs and different ways to protect our assets. Nellie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So, Nellie, how did you get started buying rentals?
Well, I'm an investor in commercial property, and I got started in this area by meeting a friend of mine who's a huge commercial investor, and I saw that he was loving what he was doing and making a ton of money on it. And I wanted to be diversified in my portfolio. So I decided, why don't I do what I'm great at, which is setting up people's LLCs and companies, and he can handle all my investments for me. So about 2 years ago, I decided to earmark a certain amount of cash with the volatility of this bullish market and invest in real estate.
Okay. And so you're buying buildings with a bunch of partners?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So we have an investment firm that we deal with that comes up with propositions for us. For example, they'll come up and say, hey, we got a really great building here that we'd like to purchase. Do you guys want to invest? And then a bunch of investors get together, put up money, we purchase the building, and then we go in on it together. And then throughout the life of the investment, as you know, they're managing the investment, we get distributions from our investment on a monthly or quarterly basis, depending on how the deal is set up.
And are these like office buildings, or what kind of buildings are they?
Great question. It can range. Right now, we're in mainly office buildings, big high rises. We own in Chicago, we own a couple in Arizona, and we own a couple in Colorado.
So when your partner calls you up and finds a deal on a building, do you go out there and actually look at it before you buy it? Or
absolutely.
Are you? Okay.
Absolutely, I do. I think it's really, really important as an investor to do your due diligence, because number one, you want to make sure you know what you're getting into, and you want to definitely make sure the building is such that it's rentable and there's going to be an upside for it. And things that I look into when I want to invest in a particular piece of property is, you know, what's the tenant rate right there? Is it fully occupied? Is there a ton of vacancy within the building? Is there a complete upside? Are they going to be renting out? So normally I do a ton of due diligence prior to investing in any piece of real estate.
Yeah, that's one thing that's always kind of scared me off from commercial. I mean, with residential, if you have a vacancy, it's normally not very long. If a property is sitting more than a month, you're probably doing something wrong with your marketing. But with commercial, I've seen properties sit vacant for years. Have you had any long-term vacancies like that?
Great question. In my particular situation, because I deal with a very, very seasoned investment firm, we have not come across that issue at all. In fact, every one of my investments that I'm in right now, in all my buildings and high rises, are fully occupied with long-term tenants,
awesome,
which is what we're looking for. With respect to residential property rentals, I have to tell you that there's issues there too, because I've had residential properties where I've rented out both as vacation rentals and, you know, college rentals. And you can get into a lot of problems with those as well.
Like, what do you mean? Like, give me some examples. Like, what kind of problems have you seen?
So this one was really funny, and the timing could not be better that I'm on this podcast right now. I actually met with a guy yesterday who owned a piece of vacation rental and basically had rented it out to an elderly individual. And then I guess the elderly guy had rented it, had subletted out to a few girls. And those girls were running basically a brothel out of this place.
No. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, you know, it got really sticky. And of course I was helping him because he knew that I've had a ton of experience in this area. So he called me up and I said, you know what, you got to go there and you got to call the authorities and get these people out of there. And of course, you know, there is certain procedures that you have to follow for eviction in a personal residential property, such as you have to place notice on the door a week prior to actually going there with the authorities, et cetera. So by the time he got there, the place was emptied out. But, you know, in my opinion, you run into problems both in residential, long-term rental, vacation rental, or commercial. It's just, you got to do your due diligence and you got to know at the end of the day who you're dealing with.
Right. Yeah. And so liability is a big thing in real estate. I mean, you're exposing yourself to a lot of liability, and you're kind of an expert on LLCs. And I want to talk to you about setting up LLCs. So for your investments, do you have all your investments in one LLC, or do you break the different buildings into different LLCs?
Generally speaking, and as it is today, I have one LLC for all my commercial dealings, and that is really earmarked for my commercial property investments. Now, if I was to, for example, hold additional rental property that's a residential property, I would probably create a separate LLC for that. But generally speaking, I'm the type of person that doesn't want the headache of dealing with multiple entities. So I try to keep it simple and have one LLC for all my commercial real estate and one for all my residential real estate.
Okay. Does it ever concern you or keep you up at night worrying that if there was a lawsuit that everything is all in that one LLC? Or are there other ways that you protect yourself?
Well, of course. I mean, there's other ways that you can protect yourself. But as long as you're running the LLC properly, which would behoove anyone from piercing the corporate veil, there is no way that anyone can get through the assets unless the LLC was being run for any type of an illegal purpose. But as a real estate owner, investor, it's really important to protect yourself and your assets from personal liability. So if you feel that creating a separate LLC for each of your investments will give you that peace of mind, then by all means. And nowadays, there's so many tools online and so many apps that you can register for free that can manage all your different LLCs, that I don't think there'd be a problem. It's just, for me, it's a personal choice that I like it set up this way.
Now, one thing that I'm excited about that you've actually prepared for us is the 5 golden rules of LLCs. And I'm excited to hear what they are, to learn more about this. So why don't you share with us your 5 golden rules?
So I would definitely love to get into that, but I just want to start off by really painting the preface before we get into the 5 golden rules as to why it's so important for a real estate investor and for someone who's investing in real estate, either by themselves or with partners, to make the smart move of placing their property in an LLC. And really, the benefits include asset protection, because your personal assets are protected from creditors and other liabilities. There's separate liability protection, meaning that placing your properties into separate LLCs effectively shields each property individually. There you go. There's an example whereby here you have different types of properties that you may be using for different purposes, one for vacation rental, one for long-term rental, one for resale. In that scenario, it may be the best route for you to create separate LLCs in that scenario. And it offers a simple way for you to protect your entire real estate portfolio. There's also tax benefits. As a pass-through entity, you can take advantage of additional tax deductions by placing your real estate investments into an LLC. There's less paperwork, and LLC has fewer requirements than setting up an S corporation or C corporation and placing your real estate investments in there. And then last but not least, privacy. The names of the LLC members are not a matter of public record in many states, and they're not shared with the IRS. And then there's ease of transfer. You can easily sell or transfer your ownership rights to the property without changing the title or recording and filing the deed to the property. So those are really the benefits of why real estate investors should consider placing their real estate into an LLC. And now that I've covered that, I can really delve into my five golden rules in asset protection for the real estate investor.
Okay, yeah. Let me, but before you get into that, there's two questions I had as you were kind of going through that. The first one is the tax benefits, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but what are the tax benefits of having an LLC?
Dan, I'm not a tax expert, so I can't give specific insight into that. But as an LLC member, you are entitled to more deductions by having that real estate piece of property into an LLC, because LLCs are subject to additional tax credits and are subject to lower tax brackets. And then in addition to that, you can make certain deductions and take certain expenses and deduct it so that you can get a higher tax deduction off the total bill, as I would say.
That's great. I didn't realize that. We're going to have a tax person come on and talk some more about that. That I think is an interesting strategy. So, okay, well, let's get right into it. Let's go through the five rules here.
Sure. So number one, again, you want to form the limited liability company to hold title in your real estate. So the LLC essentially forms a wall that shields you from personal liability. So if you happen to be sued by a tenant or guest for something that occurred on the property, the defendant, meaning the LLC and not you, is really the one who's going to be liable. So nobody can go after you, the actual investor, with a judgment. Okay. So that's why, you know, you may end up losing your investment in the property owned by the LLC if there is an actual judgment against the LLC, but your other properties, your savings account, and your other personal assets and investments are all safe.
Okay.
So number two is transferring the deed for your piece of real estate into the LLC. So once you've established an LLC, you need to sign a deed transferring the property to the LLC and then record that deed in the county where the property is located. This may sound like an obvious step, but do not overlook it. If you never actually deed the property to the LLC, you're still considered the owner and will be personally liable in any lawsuit. So this step is super, super crucial to make sure that the property is actually being properly transferred into the LLC, and the LLC is really shielding protection, and there's the shield around it between the property and you as the investor to that property.
So me as the investor, my name shouldn't be anywhere in that property. Everything should be in the name of the LLC.
Correct. Right. However, you would be listed as a member of the LLC.
Okay.
But you understand the difference, that the property is in the name of the LLC, not in your name.
Mm-hmm.
But as an investor of the property, you would be named as a member of the LLC.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
And then number three is create a separate LLC for each property. And again, that is the general rule. Now, there are exceptions to the rule in my own case. However, if you own multiple investment properties, you definitely should consider setting up a distinct LLC for each property, especially if your properties are located in different states. Now, this practice will give you the greatest amount of liability protection for your investment. However, again, it's not a black and white rule. There's exceptions to that rule as I presented to you. But if, for example, property A is sued, only those assets belonging to the LLC in property A are affected. Your own personal assets are still shielded, as well as any assets you have in property B, which is LLC B, or property C, you know, held in LLC C.
Okay.
So that's, again, the general rule. But again, we have ways and exceptions to that rule. And for somebody that's more seasoned in setting these up, or, you know, having had, you know, been doing investment in either personal residential property or commercial real estate, such as myself, you know, I've set it up in a way where I'm still protected. For somebody who's getting into this as a new investor, we definitely recommend you to set up a distinct LLC for each property.
Let me ask you this, and this might be more of a legal question that you can't answer, but if somebody owns an LLC or owns a property in another state, say they live in California, but they own a property in Nevada, should they open their LLC in California where they live or Nevada where the property is?
That's a great question, Dan. Generally speaking, with LLCs, the LLC should be set up, especially for a real estate LLC, in the state that the asset is being acquired. So in the case of the asset being acquired in Nevada, the LLC should be set up in Nevada. Okay. It'll give you a ton of more tax benefits as well.
Okay.
So going to number four, buy as much insurance as you need and you can afford. Again, this is not something that a lot of real estate investors consider as a step. But again, I want to cover all the bases. Purchase a comprehensive landlord's property insurance policy, or as applicable, to protect your property from damage and liability. Make sure you've written proof showing that the LLC is a name insured. Otherwise, your insurance company may deny coverage when it comes time to make a claim. And if you have multiple properties, LLCs, each LLC should be separately insured.
Okay.
Last but not least, properly maintain your LLC. So again, as an LLC, once it's set up, you have to make sure that the LLC remains in compliance. So your job as an investor in setting up the LLC is not done once you have an LLC filed with the Secretary of State. You have to take steps to make sure that the LLC is being properly maintained, so that nobody can go after your personal assets and pierce the corporate veil. Steps to make this happen is, for example, keep your personal funds separate from those of the LLC. No commingling. This means keeping a separate bank account and credit card for the LLC, so that if you're receiving income from your investment properties, you are actually depositing it into an LLC bank account and not your personal bank account. And obviously, make sure you keep up to date with the annual or biannual filing requirements that are required by the state office to keep the LLC in compliance, such as filing your statement of information, paying your franchise taxes, and whatnot. So these are all the steps you need to take. And in no way, you know, I'm providing you with all these rules to discourage anyone from considering an investment in real estate, but I do want to prevent you from falling prey to what could be easily avoided in the first place.
It sounds overwhelming, all of the things you need to do. Is it a lot of work, or is it just a matter of having a piece of paper that you're sending into the state every year?
It really is overwhelming to somebody who does not know how to deal with this stuff. But if you align yourself with a reputable legal document filing service that can take care of all these forms and more for you, it's really not that much.
Okay. And there was one more rule, right?
No, we that, covered all
that,
of
that's
it,
all. Okay. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. All yeah. right. Well, that was good. That was awesome. Now, let me ask you one more question before we wrap things up. I always hear that Delaware is the best place to have an LLC, that they have the best corporate structure, or it's a great place to have an LLC. Is that true? Like that? Do you really get many benefits in Delaware than you wouldn't get in other states?
Absolutely. If you're actually physically located in Delaware and operating your business in Delaware, Delaware is a great state to set up your business. However, the general rule is that if you're not in Delaware, physically located in Delaware or not, or and have no really association with Delaware, it's really going to bite you in the tushy.
Okay. Because I always see big companies that are headquartered in Delaware where, you know, they maybe have a P.O. box there or something, but they're not physically there. How do they get around that?
You know, again, I don't know the specifics of those companies, but I can probably tell you that if they are set up in Delaware, there's probably some sort of nexus that they have to the state of Delaware. But again, as a small business owner or as a small real estate investor, the general rule of thumb is set up the LLC or company, whether it be a corporation, S Corp or LLC, in the state that okay. your property is located or that you're actually physically doing business, conducting business, where your employees are, where your resident or commercial piece of property is located within.
Awesome. Well, Nelly, this was some great information you gave today. I know this was real helpful to me. I'm sure the audience loved it too. Now, you have a company, CorpNet, where you can help people with all this stuff. Why don't you tell us a little bit about CorpNet and where people can find out more information about you and the company?
Absolutely. So our company, CorpNet, provides legal document filing services for real estate investors and small business owners, entrepreneurs, anybody who wants to start a business, whether it be incorporating their business, setting up an LLC for a regular type of business or an investment. We offer our services in all 50 states. Not only do we provide the startup services of bringing the LLC into existence, but we can also assist in making sure that the LLC remains compliant for years to come. That was a question that you asked me, Dan, during the interview as to, you know, are these steps tedious? And is it tedious for that real estate investor? And as I mentioned to you, if they align themselves with a reputable company, all of these filings and more can be taken care of. Because, for example, at CorpNet, we provide a free application called our Business Information Zone, which is available to anyone. You do not even have to be a client of CorpNet's, where you can register your companies within there and get free monitoring and alerts as to when filings are due for any of your companies.
Well, I will go ahead and put a link to your company on our show notes page. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 68. And speaking of show notes, I want to give a big shout out to Sherry. She is one of the listeners to the Rental Income Podcast. And the last few weeks, she has been writing just awesome show notes, summarizing everything we've talked about. So if you missed any of the golden rules or you want to go back and refer to anything that we talked about, Sherry's going to have everything all written out at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 68. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.